It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferris.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Today is National Coming Out Day. It's a day when members of the LGBT community around the country are encouraged to talk to their families and communities about their sexualities.
Here with us to talk about the history and the meaning of National Coming Out Day is LGBT rights activist Candace Gingrich. She's the Associate Director of Youth and Campus Engagement at the Human Rights Campaign. She's the sister of former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich. She's also the author of Accidental Activist. Candace, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob and Veronica.
Well, can you tell me the story behind National Coming Out Day?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty cool story. In 1987, there was the March on Washington for gay and lesbian equality, and there was like 500,000 people came here for that march, and there was a lot of energy, so much that a couple months afterwards, 100 activists got together to kind of plot out, you know, what next steps should we take? And one of the concepts that came out of that was that we weren't going to gain equality from the closet, that visibility was really important in helping people know, you know, A, that they know gay people, but also in acquiring allies in the work that we're doing. So they decided on National Coming Out Day and to host it on October 11th every year as an homage to the march that took place on October 11th in 1987.
So is this more about people coming out today of the closet for the first time or about people who may already be out being out talking in their communities?
It's a little of both, Rob. I mean, coming out is a journey. You know, it's not just a one-time thing. I mean, we talk about coming out and you think of a person's coming out story, but every single day we have coming out stories to tell. It's a day for us to hopefully encourage and provide the support for those people who are coming out for the first time, but also to, you know, remind those that, you know, are as out as they think they can be, that there's still ways that we can help educate folks by being open.
As you say, the stories are all unique, and I imagine the challenges people face are unique given their life situation, their family, where they live. But what are some common things that people think about as they make this decision to come out today or any other day?
Well, you know, a couple things. You know, one is, you know, we recommend, finding someone to come out to that you feel already pretty good is going to be accepting. You know, that's important, you know, for you, but also as you go on to start telling other people, to have that ally, to have that person who kind of, you know, has your back. And, you know, the other thing to say, Robin, is to just acknowledge that coming out is still a risk for a lot of people. As powerful as it is, as important as it is, it still could be the cause for you to get fired from your job. It still could, you know, be the thing that has a judge give custody to your spouse because they're not gay. There are still risks involved. And I think that makes it even more important for those who are able to come out. And just finally, to remember that it's your journey. Don't let anybody tell you when or where or how that you need to come out. It's your decision.
So the message is not come out at all costs, damn the torpedoes, take every risk.
Right.
So your own story, your book is The Accidental Activist, and you kind of came onto the national stage when Newt Gingrich became Speaker of the House and you came out. What was that experience like, and did you expect the attention you would get then?
Well, the experience was, you know, a simple one of just a reporter asking me, you know, are you gay? And me not having any reason whatsoever to not tell her the truth. And of course, she was an Associated Press reporter, so word spread rather quickly. I think I was more surprised as I learned about the state of inequality for LGBT people. I felt like I lived kind of in a bubble prior to that because I was accepted by my family. I was out at work, didn't know anybody with HIV/AIDS or anybody who'd been the victim of a hate crime. And I really thought that was pretty typical for queer Americans. And, you know, it wasn't that until I came out and I started working with the Human Rights Campaign, and I started meeting people who had lost their jobs because they were gay, who, you know, had been attacked because of who they are. And, you know, that's one thing we know is that when you personalize it, when you can put a face on the issue, it changes things. And all those people I met certainly changed me.
Now, you've spoken directly to your brother, Newt, about LGBT issues in open letters. How should members, how should people who are coming out go about talking to members of their own family and community who maybe don't accept the decision, don't accept that they're coming out?
Well, you know, there definitely are you know, it's a possibility that you're going to, you know, meet someone who isn't as excited about it as you are. You know, one thing that I think that folks can do is to give the people time to kind of get used to the information. You know, I always think about my own coming out story. It took me 20 years to accept that I was a lesbian. When I came out to my mom, I just thought, all right, that's it. I'm still the same person. You should still love me, you know, exactly as you did before. But she needed some time, and it was frustrating. I didn't think she should need time because I was still her daughter. But then it occurred to me, it took me 20 years. It may take the people that I tell, you know, a little bit of time as well.
It's not a 60-minute TV drama where it all comes out well at the end of the day. It can take a lot longer.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it can't all be wrapped up in an after-school special.
Well, I was looking at the Human Rights Campaign website. A lot of the Coming Out Day issues are focused on workplace, who to come out to at the workplace, what to check to see if you might get fired. What should people be reviewing at the job before they make announcements?
Well, you can check out the Human Rights Campaign's Corporate Equality Index, which is measures how companies and businesses are on LGBT issues, if they have non-discrimination policies, that kind of thing. So you can actually, you know, search to see if a potential employer or if your current employer does have their own protections. You know, I think similar to, you know, in general coming out, find some person at work that that you come out to first, that, you know, can be kind of your support system as you continue to go on. And, you know, and also, Rob, we talk about coming out in other spaces, too. I mean, you know, in the healthcare profession, you know, LGBT patients need to be out to their doctors so that they can get the right care that they deserve. You know, we need for same-sex couples to be out as potential adoptive parents because, you know, there are 500,000 kids in foster care. So, you know, in so many spaces, we have the opportunity to come out.
We're talking to Candace Gingrich. She's a LGBT rights activist. She works with the Human Rights Campaign. And in a little bit, we'll be joined by a Wisconsin radio host who came out on the air last year on Coming Out Day. You're listening to Central Time here in the Ideas Network.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We'll pick up our conversation now with Candace Gingrich. Today is National Coming Out Day. She is with the Human Rights Campaign, and we're talking about this effort to get people in the LGBT community to talk about being gay in America and spread the message that people are out there. Candace, what are you hoping to collect more and more stories at the Human Rights Campaign, people's coming out stories and what they've done since?
We've been doing that and have been for a while. I mean, coming out stories are so powerful, and they're also very informative, you know, for us to kind of figure out if there are resources that we could be providing and should be providing. We've got a series of resource guides to coming out that each year we distribute, you know, more than 10,000 of them, you know, across the country. So, you know, folks, you know, should know that we, you know, there is that support there from the Human Rights Campaign. And Rob, I also have to just not correct you, but I guess add an addendum to your opening for this piece. It's also about allies coming out. Coming Out Day is not just for the gays, but our straight allies also have, you know, a coming out to do too. So it's really a multi-pronged approach to educating folks.
Yeah, and what can straight people do to take part in this National Coming Out Day?
Well, I think visibility of straight allies is as important as, you know, visibility of LGBT people. You know, as a way to show, you know, to others, you know, to LGBT people that they are supportive, but also to other allies to know that it's okay to speak up and speak out. You know, if you have a friend who you think, you know, might be gay and is struggling with it, you know, maybe you can have a conversation with them and in some ways show them that you would be supportive if they came out to you. you know, it's also speaking out when there are teachable moments. People who still use "that's so gay" or say "faggot" or maybe repeat, something that an ally knows is not true, to correct folks, because it really is. It comes down to education. The biggest enemy we have is ignorance, and the way that we can get rid of it is just being out and open and having those conversations.
Well, how do you think the climate, the discussion has changed since that first march and since Coming Out Day became an annual tradition?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just the volume of people who have come out since 1988. That has changed our country. One thing, you know, that we know is that younger people are more supportive of LGBT equality. We actually call them generation equality because of that support, and also, you know, my knowledge that in their lifetime they're going to see full equality. And one of the reasons that they are so supportive is that their whole lives they've known LGBT people, or at least known that they exist. You know, we call that generation like digital natives because they've always had, you know, their technology, and I think they're also kind of queer natives too. It brings to mind when I came out to my mom, and she was 60 at the time, and said, you know, you're going to have to give your dad and I some time to get used to this, because when we were growing up, we didn't have gay people. You know, and I tried to explain to her it was, you know, not like color televisions and microwaves, but there were gay people when she was growing up. She just didn't know. And today, more people know someone who is LGBT, and that changes people.
All right. Candace, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
That was Candace Gingrich. She's with the Human Rights Campaign talking about National Coming Out Day.
Last year, Wisconsin radio host Aaron Rodgers of Z104 in Madison came out on the air for National Coming Out Day, and he's with us now to talk about that experience. Aaron, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm very glad you brought me on this afternoon.
Well, tell us what happened a year ago on National Coming Out Day for you.
You know, I wasn't even really familiar with the day, to be honest with you. I knew it was sometime in October, and it was last year. I had decided to, you know, I'd been on the station for 2 years, and, you know, a lot of people in the community have seen me out, and I do a lot of things with different organizations already in the LGBT community. So I thought, why not really open up to the listeners and live authentically with them, much as, you know, other people would do? And I decided that this would be the perfect opportunity to take everything that I've encompassed in my life and share it with the people who listen to my show every afternoon, follow me, you know, via social media, or live the same life that I do here in Madison.
Well, what was it like in that moment when you decided to tell your story? Were you nervous?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, as radio people, we know that we get so used to cracking the mic and it becomes a, you know, routine part of our day. But when you have something so big to share, and you put yourself out there and you make yourself vulnerable with a bunch of people who you really don't know who's listening, and you expose yourself in that way, my nerves were like, I was shaking, I was finding myself totally out of character, which normally I wouldn't have ever, you know, I wouldn't have ever been that nervous, but it was a huge moment. And I had the support of my program director, Katie, in the studio as well, so it made things a lot easier.
Do you remember a little bit about what you said? Anything that sticks in your mind that felt, I don't know, maybe good to say on the air?
You know, I was just watching the video, actually, from a year ago today, and I kind of really just emphasized the fact that, you know, I wanted to allow people to view me as a mentor, as an ally, for somebody to reach out to me, and, you know, maybe they don't have the support that they have in their lives that I've been blessed with. And allow people to, you know, reach out to me and to make me a comfortable part of their life and provide support and, you know, almost like a resource. I've been out to my parents for about 8 years now already. And sometimes I know with the people that I work with in the community and the people who listen, they might not have that support. So my biggest message was to pretty much give an invitation for people to reach out to me if they need support or if they need just somebody to talk to.
And how did people respond once it was out there?
It was really quite incredible. I mean, the social media support, which we live in, you know, this digital age, it's incredible how the story was shared and the video. showed up on, you know, national blogs, and all that stuff was something I had never really been a part of before. And I think the really neat part was, is I was getting text messages and emails from friends who I hadn't talked to in years, people from different businesses and organizations around the country who had reached out to me with their questions and their insecurities, and I never would have imagined that kind of outreach from people here in Madison and in the state and all over the place.
We've got less than a minute to go, but could you give some advice for people who might be considering coming out? What would you tell them?
You know, I was listening just earlier, and, you know, I think the best thing that I've been told, too, is that you just have to find somebody who you trust and who you're comfortable with that you can express your feelings to and really be open with. And I think that connection and that friendship and that relationship is the most powerful bond to making you feel more comfortable about the way you feel about your life so that you can live authentically as a person.
All right. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Aaron Rodgers is a radio host at Z104 in Madison. He came out on the air to his listeners last year.